Amen. You have your Bibles. The book of John, chapter number 3. The book of John, chapter number 3. Some weeks ago, we began reading out of John, chapter 3, and verse number 16. And I'd aimed to preach a message, or maybe two. And here we are, 7 or 8 weeks later, and we're still preaching in John, chapter 3, the same verse. And someone said, "Preacher Darren, I love to hear you preach." I appreciate that. Thank you for saying that. "But I love to hear you when you preach about judgment and God's going to get us and this love stuff. I don't know. That's love stuff." And I said, "You know, the thing is, the more you learn about God's love, the more you learn to love. And the flesh don't like to love. The flesh likes to declare so-and-so's my enemy and I want to be vindicated and I want revenge and I want to attack and I want my claws to come out and my fangs to come out." That's the problem. The flesh don't like love. The flesh likes gossip and nasty stuff. But see, we love that God loves us. We just don't like to love everybody else. Stand to your feet today. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Today I want to preach on those last four words, "but have everlasting life." What does that mean just exactly? I want to talk about that today. Father, would you help us to preach the word of God? Thank you for sending a good spirit here today, a good crowd. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Father, miracle after miracle, you've saved our soul from hell. You've been so good to us, Father, and blessed us with so much. Lord, today we praise you, we thank you, and we honor you. Help us, Father, to preach your word to this thy people. And for this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated this morning. In January of 1787, Catherine the Great of Russia, she was leaving her winter palace and she was traveling 1,000 miles for her summer palace. And she had a bright, colorful entourage in which she would travel so far and spend the night and travel so far and spend the night. And it was a time in Russia of sheer poverty, of deprivation, and of suffering. And her people lived in awful conditions. And her senior advisor made every effort to keep Catherine from seeing the real condition of her people. So what he did was he would go out of his way and he would set up all these boards and these sets of fake villages and would hire people that were well fed and very happy to go from one place to another to act like they were conducting business in the village. And while she slept at night, they would move forward to the next place to get set up. And so Catherine presumed that her people were content and that her people were well taken care of. But behind the scenes, there was misery and real suffering. I have a question. Have you seen your real spiritual condition today? Or is it set up with fake villages and well-fed, happy times? What is your spiritual condition? Well, the Bible says that all have sinned. Preacher, don't get on this. All have sinned. Your pastor has sinned. Your deacons have sinned. Your choir has sinned. Your church members have sinned. All have sinned. From the White House to the outhouse, all have sinned. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Wages is what you work for. I worked at Steelcase for 15, 16 years. I worked 40, 50, 60 hours a week. They paid me wages to work there. Amen. When you as a sinner live in sin, you're working for your wages. Your wages is death. Because of our sin, God knew that all the world, every man, woman, boy, and girl, would plunge into an eternal punishment called hell for to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Number one, God gave us a saving plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's saving plan is founded on a principle. All of you that have sinned, that's every one of us, he said, whosoever believeth. I don't care who you are. Salvation is not the merit of man. Salvation is the mercy of Almighty God. And he gave his Son, and if we would put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he would save us. Now the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Faith. Faith in what? Faith in the pew? Faith in the church? No. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. That's faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The superintendent was reading this morning. I'm sitting there. God gave me a thought. To receive the gift of God first, you had to have someone who was able to purchase the gift. Second, you had to have the gift itself. And third, you have to have someone to receive the gift. Hey, salvation is the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's founded on a principle, and it's focused on a person. Who is the person? The Son of Man, Jesus Christ. He's come to seek and save that which was lost. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16, 31. John chapter 1, verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God has a saving plan. Jesus has told us he is the only way. Number two, God made us a solemn pledge. He said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. What a pledge. God has made a solemn pledge. What does it mean to perish? Last week, I didn't tell you this last week, but I'll tell you now. My milk went out of date. My chocolate milk went out of date. My bread molded. Medicines that we have went out of date. It happened to me all week long. Some of my fruit that's there at the house, sitting in the basket, began to rot. Some of my vegetables that I was so looking forward to eating began to wilt. They went out of date. Everything we know here on earth is perishing. I and you, we have a shelf life. We are perishing. What does it mean to perish? It means to ruin beyond return. If you die unsaved, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you die unsaved without trusting Christ, you will never have eternal life. You will instead have eternal death. Now your body dies. It's appointed unto man once to die. We are dying. And after this, the judgment. When the body dies, the soul moves out. Now I'm looking at you. That's the tent that you live in. But inside you is a living, breathing soul that God gave to you. He breathed in your nostrils the breath of life, and you became a living soul. If you die and your body lays here and is buried, the soul moves on into eternity. If you're saved, it goes to heaven. If you're unsaved, it goes into eternal punishment, into eternal death, into a place called hell. The Bible says, look with me in John chapter 3. You're there already, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. For those of you that are saved, when Jesus came to Calvary and you put your faith in Jesus, he took upon himself your sin. He received God's wrath and he delivered you from God's wrath. If you're saved, y'all say amen. I'm delivered from the wrath of God. But if you're not saved, the Bible says the wrath of God abideth on you even now. Your tent, you've gussied it up, you got it already, but your soul is dying and it's on its way to hell to be separated from God forever. And the wrath of God, his condemnation abideth on you. You may say, Preacher Darren, what is the wrath of God? It occurs when holiness meets sin. It occurs when justice meets rebellion. It occurs when righteousness meets unrighteousness. It occurs when perfect good meets perfect evil. It occurs when the gentleness of the Lamb meets the brutality of mankind. It's the light of the Lamb of God against the darkness of sinful man. It is eternal punishment. Will you hear me for a second? God cannot wink at sin. God cannot just overlook it and let you in. Poor illustration. In baseball, they told me that a young man broke Hank Aaron's home run record. But then they came back and said maybe there's speculation that that young man used steroids and some type of drugs to help him to get strong enough to overcome that. Whether he did or not, I don't know, but I know this, in the record book, he has an asterisk over his name. That means there's speculation about it. Honey, God, if you're here today, you're carrying around an asterisk. You're acting like you're saved and ready to fly off to glory, and the truth of the matter is you're under condemnation and the wrath of God and pending your decision today. And you're on your way to hell, and I'm just trying to warn you, stop, sinner, stop, slow down, listen to what the Word of God has to say. You're in danger of eternal punishment. You're in danger of eternal damnation. You're in danger of returning and rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, perfect salvation. If I were here today and unsaved, I would be trembling. And I would run to the altar to get it under the blood. The best thing I ever did was get saved. The greatest day of my life was admitting I was a sinner and calling on the name of Jesus. And he turned my world around. Maybe you're here today and say, well, God's too kind. And he wouldn't send anybody to hell. Hear me, God loves sinners, but he hates sin. And God will not wink at those of you that are in sin and just let you go on through. Maybe you're here and you don't believe in the reality of heaven. I'm going to give you another poor illustration. In my classroom, I teach math. You have the possibility on your test of making 100. But if you don't take the test or if you miss every single question, you get a 0. You see, there's a heaven, which is 100, and there's a punishment, which is a 0. And in God's grading scale, there is no in between. It's either one or the other. If there's 100, there's a 0. If there's a 0, there's 100. If there's a heaven, there's a hell. If there's a hell, there's a heaven. Jesus preached 10 times more on hell than he did on heaven. Maybe you don't believe in the reality of hell, but I promise you, there's no way out of hell. Maybe you're here today and say, well, I've heard of a place called purgatory. And if I go there, somebody can pray me out. And there's no purgatory. It's not in the Bible. Well, Preacher Dan, I'll be reincarnated. I've never met anybody yet that's reincarnated. There's never been one and there'll never be one. There's no such thing as reincarnation, amen. And in hell, you may say, I'll get right. If there's a hell, I'll get right in hell. If you end up in hell, it's too late to repent. It's a place without hope. The horror of men and women dying without Christ and going to hell, forever lost, forever, forever, forever. You'll never hear me preach again. You'll never. a prayer made for you again. You'll never have any hope of getting out of there. Lord God. The Bible says, but whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So if you're saved today, you're not going to perish. You're not going to ruin. There is no eternal damnation for you. Thank God we've been delivered from the wrath of God. Thank God for it. No danger in hell for the believer. Thirdly, and I'll be done, there is God's sure promise. The Bible says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, comma, but have everlasting life. What is then this everlasting life that's provided by the love of God and the gift of God's Son? First, let me say this today. It is not eternal existence. Everlasting life is not time. It's beyond time. The Bible teaches that Satan and his demons have eternal existence. The Bible teaches us that people in hell have eternal existence. They do not have eternal life. They have eternal damnation. They have eternal existence. They're alive and tormented, and they'll be there forever. So everlasting life must be more than eternal existence. It is a life that lasts forever. Now, we've read John 3:16, John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Look at chapter 6, John 6. Look at verse number 40. Here we go, preacher, reading all these verses. Yes, that's right. This is the will, chapter 6, verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Chapter 10, verse number 27. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And you thought you was in good hands with Allstate. John chapter number 17. What is eternal life? The Word of God tells us about God's sure promise called eternal life. John 17, verse number 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What is this eternal life? A, it's a different life. Now the Bible said in John chapter 3, it's different than what we think. The Bible says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but, that's a conjunction, but have everlasting life. The conjunction sets in order a contrast of the life just described called perishing, which is an existence of eternal punishment and damnation, but there's a different kind of life. It's an everlasting life, one which I would highly recommend you partake of. When God created man, God told Adam, he said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, scoffers say it was hundreds of years before Adam died. I looked it up. He was 930 years old when he died. But the moment Adam sinned, he died immediately in his spirit. It was a death that he experienced to his spirit. You see, God moved out because God will not live in a dirty house. God moved out. There's a bunch of boys, poor illustration, a bunch of boys that wanted to bring their goat to live with them in the dorm room. And one of them said, "What about the smell?" And his buddy said, "Oh, it'll be all right. He'll get used to it like I did." Some of us live like a bunch of dirty old goats. Amen. We don't pay attention to what's really stinking and smelling in our lives. We don't pay any attention to our real spiritual condition. When Adam sinned, the Lord moved out. And when the Lord moved out, man was spiritually depraved. He had no Lord. And when the Lord moved out, man was spiritually dead, for he has no life. And when life moved out, man was spiritually darkened because he has no light, no Lord, no life, no light. Depraved, dead, and in the dark. That's where people in lost condition are. But, all who are saved have everlasting life. When did you get it? The moment you got saved, he gave you everlasting life. You may say, "I don't get it till I die." No, honey. He gave it to you the moment you got saved. I may not look like it right now, but inside of me is a soul that has received everlasting life. Well, glory to God. Bless his good name. I'm saved, on my way to heaven. I have life. I have light. I have a Lord. Now, the Bible says, "You hath he quickened," that means to make alive, "who were dead in trespasses and in sins." There was this old timer who had a stroke, and he couldn't communicate with his family because his stroke had taken his speech. And he learned to sign, not real sign language, but by writing letters. And as he was dying, nearing the shore, his family gathered around his bedside. And you know, I was there. And you know what he did? He began to take his finger, this way he communicated, and he began to spell. You know what he spelled? He spelled one word: glory. And he died. I was there. Y'all, I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved, I don't care if you don't have speech anymore, if your health is gone, if you're 26 or 62 or 92, if you're saved, you're going to glory. He knew it, thank God, as he left here. And when I think that I don't have to go to hell and God saved me, it makes me want to shout it right now. Are you ready? Glory! Hallelujah. It's a different life than what we live here. This is a physical life. But God has given us spiritual life, and we will live forever. B, it's a divine life. Everlasting life is more than just a life you live in heaven. God's given it to you right now while you're here on earth. An eternal life is life that's within me. The Bible says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." And without eternal life, no one will enter into heaven. Preacher, how do I get it? You know what Jesus said? He said that he is the life. The word life in the Greek is the word Zoe, life. Let's read about it in John chapter 11 and verse number 25. You remember the text? "Lazarus, whom the Lord loved, has died. Martha and Mary has sent for Jesus, but he's waited some days before he went to that place. And when he got there, let's read 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He asked the question, believest thou this? You see, when you got saved, Jesus, who is life, moved in. Amen. John 14:6. You know this verse. You could quote it to me. John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you're going to get into heaven, you'll have to have eternal life. To get eternal life, you have to have Jesus, who is the life inside of you. Amen. Hallelujah to God. What a truth. Everlasting life. The word is aionios. That means everlasting. That means eternal. In 1 John 5:20, the epistle of 1 John chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Watch this. This is the true God and eternal life. While you're there, look at verse 11. I love this verse. 1 John 5:11. This is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Christ in you and you in Christ. What a blessing. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'll be done right here. See, it's a delightful life. There's some people that think that life is about possessions. That's where living really comes from. That it's about having 3 acres of land, 3 cars, money, land, stocks, bonds, swimming pools, boats, and jet skis. That's living. A man in Texas, a Texas tycoon, he died. And they were going to bury him in his car. He had a brand new Cadillac. They put him behind the front seat, dressed him up in a big white suit, dug a great big hole in the ground, took that $80,000 Cadillac, put him and the Cadillac in the ground together, and shoved dirt over him. And somebody said, man, that's living, ain't it? Maybe they need to think about where they were, burying somebody in the graveyard. We need to think about where we are. If my investments and my possessions are all that makes me happy, something's wrong. I have a retirement that is out of this world. Some think that living is possession. Some think that living is pleasure. You envy the lifestyle of others. They have pleasure. Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines. Sound like a crazy man to me. Amen. And he said if he wanted to do it, he had the money to do it. He tried everything under the sun to satisfy him, but he said all of the pleasures of this world are vanity. Just when you think that getting that quarter an hour raise is going to give you pleasure, when you get it, it turns out not to be
what you thought it was, and you want another quarter, and you get that, and it didn't satisfy you. This world, honey, will never satisfy you. It'll take Jesus. He's the only one that can. Some think it's popularity, to have their name up in bright lights, to have so many friends and so much fame. But honey, it's not about that. There are people that share those things, I know a bunch, and they're miserable. Miserable with all their possessions and the pleasure that they have right now. But there's some that don't have those things. They'll never have those things, but they have a deep satisfaction in their heart. What happened? They got saved. Amen. And the Lord gave them everlasting life, and they're thrilled, and they're enriched, and they're enjoying, and they're enlarged by the blessings of Almighty God. Hear me right here. There was a man in South Africa, very wealthy. He wanted to purchase a car, and they brought him the finest automobile there was of its day, a Rolls Royce. He test drove it. He liked it. He's writing out the check, and he said, before I hand you this check, I meant to check on the horsepower of this car. Will it do what I need for it to do? And the dealer, ready to get the check, said, I'll have to check. Back at headquarters, I don't know the number for the horsepower. And back in those days, you didn't have Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and text messaging and instant messenger and all the things we have today. They had to send a telegram. And it took about a day to get an answer back. And he went back to the factory there where they got the Rolls Royces. They said, we need to know the horsepower of this specific. All they did was come back and say, horsepower more than adequate. Let me just say that Jesus is more than adequate. Can I get a witness? I think about William Cooper, who battled depression. He was filled with anxiety concerning the wrath of God falling on him. And one day, as he was laying on his face, he got up and he flung his Bible open to the book of Romans chapter 3. And this is what it said. Whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. Mr. Cowper went on to say that there and then I knew that Jesus had borne my sins on Calvary. He became my substitute, and he took the wrath of God in my place. And if I would call upon him, I would never have to die and go to hell. And I placed my faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote that. He wrote this day. Will you hear it? This is what he wrote. I quote, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. John 5, 24. What a verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is not what Darren says. It's not what anybody other than the Lord Jesus. He's the one who said it. This is what Jesus said. I don't think I'll do it harm by saying this. Verily, verily, Jesus says unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You see, there's a difference between having an eternal existence in hell versus having eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. There's a real difference. Maybe you'll stand to your feet today. Would you do that? Been interested all week this week as I preached in revival. Not one night did I give an invitation. I just fell on my face and began to pray when I was finished preaching, and people joined me all around. And I wondered this morning, is there somebody, you're in the house of God today, and you say, Lord, I don't even know what all I've got, but I thank you for the promise of eternal life. You said, he that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. It did not say will have, it says hath, present tense. Right now and forever, I have eternal life. And maybe you just want to come to the altar to thank him. Maybe there's somebody here, you need to come to the altar today and say, Lord, I want to have more of that life, and I want to have life more abundantly. Maybe there's somebody here today to say, I have loved ones, Preacher Darren, and they don't have life. Well, the life they're living now is almost misery, suffering, and death. I pray for them that they might receive Christ, that they might call upon his name. If you're here under the sound of my voice, I believe there's somebody here, maybe more than one, that you need to be saved, and God knows it. Will you look at your spiritual condition? Look at your heart. Look at your life. Is this what Jesus does, or is this what sin is doing in your life? Why don't you today say, Lord, I'm not saved. Will you save me? There will not be one he'd ever turn away. Will you forgive me of my sins? Would you let me have life and not eternal punishment? Ask him to forgive you of his sins and save you today. He died on the cross for you. He was buried and rose again. He gave his life that you and I might have life. Father, this morning, I thank you for the word of God. Lord, I ask your blessing upon each and every one that would call upon your name. Lord, I praise you for eternal life. For without you, I die in my sins and go to an eternal existence, tormented in the flames and the punishment of an everlasting hell. God, thank you for delivering me from wrath which is to come. Thank you for the gift of God that's in Jesus Christ which you gave me. Lord, help me, Lord, to learn more about your love that I might love others. God, I thank you for what you're doing. Father, I pray that you'll touch my family. God, I've got some friends. God, they're miserable. And Lord, they're going through life presuming and pretending that everything is well. But inside they know truthfully there is misery. There is agony. There is anguish. There is sorrow. There is suffering. And God, you sent your son to deliver us from these things, to give us peace and joy and love and a promise of glory. Thank you, Father, for your son Jesus and for the life that he gave that we might have life. For this I pray and give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.